Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where if you wanted to know, and I assume that you did, the Arlington Renegades are unfortunately now 0-5 after a 25-15 loss to the San Antonio Brahmas on Saturday night.
I watched one carry.
Did you?
Yeah.
How did it go?
Offensive line got blown up, but the guy made it back to the line of scrimmage. It's a good run.
Good for him.
Feels very 2024 Dallas Cowboys run game.
Yeah. Corey, you brought this up.
But let's talk about it.
Is there anyone more excited about Zeke coming back right now than Mike Bassett?
Mike walked in this
49er
morning.
49er fans.
I'm surprised you took off your Zeke jersey.
I'm going to DallasCowboys.com. I wonder if they're still on discount. God. Dick's Sporting Goods is probably like, oh, God, we had so many of these in the back we can bring back
if,
out.
If the camera was to zoom in, Mike's wearing a crop top right now. Like, he's got it. He's got it. It's rolled up because he didn't want to cut the shirt.
They say, Zeke, that's my dog.
That's exactly what he was saying. Mike woke up this morning, saw that news, and went, I always knew it would happen.
Yeah.
And Kevin, he didn't jump out of bed. He leapt out of bed. And he screamed, Sue, you're never going to guess what happened.
Get the bowl out. It's Salvation Army time.
She was like,
jumping the bowl.
Mike, I know.
Jump in the pot.
You've been waiting for this all for the last 2 years for Zeke to finally be back.
I tell you what, DallasCowboys.com, get on the game here. I see a picture of four people representing the Cowboys. Where's the fifth? Where's Zeke, man?
All right.
You got Diggs, Dak, Parsons, CD. You're missing a player.
On the Mavs front, speaking of missing a player, let's go to cut number three, because this is going to be one of the few three-pointers that he's made.
Doncic playing with five fouls. Step back three. Tie game!
In fact, in that game, I believe that was the only one, 0 for 8 otherwise. In the series, Maxi Kleba is 4 for 8 from 3. In the last two games, Luka is 4 for 23 from 3. Is Luka, for all his greatness, and he is great, 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 is he going to be able to shoot worth a damn in this series? Because if he can't, I don't think they're going to win.
He's having a bad series, and I don't know if it's going to improve. I would like for Tim McMahon, whoever, and I know they're not in L.A. yet. I don't know if they're flying out this afternoon or tomorrow, but hey, Luka, play this all over the place, please. He probably doesn't care who I am. I'm not big enough to be in the media thing, but Terrence Mann owns your ass. How does it feel, Luka, that Terrence Mann owns your butt? You can't score to save your life against Terrence Mann. Because I feel like he needs some sort of motivation because he is getting, he's not playing bad. I don't want to go that far, but he's not playing good. He's putting up numbers, but they're so inefficient. You're like, yeah, at the end of the game, he has a 30-point triple-double for the most part in most of these games. But it's so inefficient. It's James Harden is outplaying him, and it's not even close how much James Harden is outplaying him in this series. I don't know if it's going to change because once you get four games into a series and you're pretty consistent in what you're doing, you're an inefficient scorer. He's playing his butt off on defense a lot. Like, I'm not trying to say Luka's having an overall bad series. But to your point, Kevin, offensively, they're shutting him down. I won't say shutting him down. He is getting 30, but he is so inefficient. You feel like when he has the ball now, you almost feel like something negative is going to happen.
To your point about he's not having a bad series, but he's not having a good series, it's easy to just look at numbers. And we talk about this all the time. Did you watch the game or did you just look at the numbers? Because right. If you just look at the numbers, 29 points per game this series, 9.8 rebounds, 8.5 assists. So that sounds phenomenal. But what you were just talking about there is the efficiency that James Harden has had in this series compared to Luka. Now, I think he's scoring 3 points less per game, but on way better shooting, 50% from three compared to 26.5% from three for Luka. So again, I said, don't just look at the numbers though. We played the three-pointer that he made, but in the first quarter, it was rough. And it was rough for the entire team, the first quarter and a half. But he's had rough shooting days every single one of these games.
I know that they're not going to go away from the bread and butter, which got them 50 wins and got them to where they're at. But Corey, when we asked after game one, when they lost that game 56-30 at halftime and obviously did not have a comeback like they did in game four, I mentioned, and Jason Kidd did some of this, hey, get him closer to the basket if they're going to play Terrence Mann on him. And look, Russell Westbrook, I don't like him, but he does play his butt off on post defense and he pushes Luka out to the 3-point line. And Luka kind of, in a way, Luka doesn't really want to post up. He wants to get the ball at the 3-point line and do his dribble dance, which isn't really getting him much in this playoffs.
It's boring. I just did something flashy.
Post up the little guy, man.
That's a great point. I don't remember the score when the possession happened, but he did the dribble dance until there was about 4 seconds left on the shot clock and then tried to pitch it out really quickly to Kyrie. And Kyrie was like way back. And he was like, well, your option is take a shot clock violation or force this shot.
Same time.
And it didn't work. And I really did not like that possession.
Yeah. And I would, if it's going to work over and over, do it until they stop you. And they can't with Terrence Mann on you in the post. It's just not going to happen. I think he can beat Westbrook in the post more often than not. But like you said, he lets Westbrook just float him out there. He doesn't force it.
He's honestly, in a way, watching the game, I do not have the stats to back this up. When he drives, he's not getting fouled. Yeah. When is he getting fouled? When it's kind of a little bit of a post-up, pump fake, he gets Paul George up in the air. Like, a lot of the fouls he's drawing, I don't want to say like a whole bunch, but when he's getting to the free throw line, it's more of that mid-range pump fake type of situation. It's not, I'm getting fouled taking 20-foot jumpers or getting all the way to the rim. In fact, I will say maybe his knee's bugging him here. He seems reluctant to lay the ball up. He's passing out of contested layups. Like, I can't elevate. I'm going to get it blocked, and I don't want to get it blocked, so I'm going to throw a pass out, which sometimes those guys aren't even open. He's just like, I'm not going to get this blocked, so I'm not going to lay it up. He is getting some layups, but it's weird. Luka is not having a good series. He's not having a bad series, and maybe that's the optimism, is if Luka ever plays a great game in this series, yeah, maybe you win easily.
Kevin, I saw him get out of that car. You know, when he was stuck in traffic in over the weekend? When he got out of the car, I was just like, man, it's taking him forever to get out of this car right now. Maybe it is. Maybe the knee's bugging him, but he said it's not an excuse, and he's going out there. He's given everything he can, so they got to figure something out. Here's a line that I think at some point, it seems like when Luka gets mad, he becomes a better shooter. And we got to figure out a way for him to turn into Hulk, right, like as the tip happens.
And that's when you bring up the Terrence Mann situation.
But I do like this line from Kyrie, because this is interesting to me. We're in a series. Duh. But we're fully aware of who we're going against now. We know each other extremely well. We know each other's plays. I think you're going to see high-level chess match in game five in L.A. And I'm not thinking about stealing a game. I'm thinking about winning a game and finishing out the series. So he's like, okay, look now. Yeah. We played four against each other. It's even. And now we've got some things figured out that we know we can go attack, because they're not going to show anything we haven't seen at this point. And if they do, we should be able to figure it all out. But most of the things that you do well and that you're going to go back to over and over, you've shown already in four games.
Yeah, and they don't let Luka. Is James Harden just better at getting to the rim at this point in their careers?
Okay.
No, I just think the defense is more lax on James Harden.
And then the other thing is, how big of an issue is the knee? Because I see people saying that he's hurt. If he's hurt, and again, good on you, Corey, for bringing it up. He's not using that as an excuse. It seems like hopefully you could find a way to scale back. I'm going to say 6 shots a game. So he's still taking 18 to 20 shots a game. We'll get to the problems that come along with that in just a second. I wonder if it's that's giving him so much trouble getting to the rim compared to James Harden.
Well, I just feel like I don't want to question Luka's IQ. I guess I am here because I think it's tremendous. Top 5% in the league today and a very high IQ overall in the history of the NBA. If your knee's bugging you a little bit, whether it's 5% or 50%, go post up.
Yeah.
Stop having to dance to get open. You're not getting open by dancing with the ball anymore. It's not happening. They're too good. Paul George, Terrence Mann, hell, even at times James Harden and Russell Westbrook's all up in your rear end too, Luka. Then go post them up. You know, run. They did that in game 2. They're trying to do it a little bit here and there, but Luka kind of allows them to push him out to the 3 because he's not really wanting to post up that strong. You are bigger than everybody that is trying to guard you. Go post them up. Get the ball somewhere between 10 to 15 feet away from the basket. Now you can just catch and shoot. You know, take your time. Patience. He's very good at this. Pump fake. 1 dribble. Pump fake. 2 dribbles. Draw Zubac to you. Maybe that. But the pick and roll's dead. Once again, the Suns general manager is right. It's the easiest play to take away in all the NBA because we're... How many like kind of easy pick and roll dunks are we seeing in this series? It's not as easy to do anymore. Yeah. And they're taking it away. And they've played Luka 20 times almost now in the playoffs. So I'm just, for Luka, I'm like, it's not working, man. This isn't working. They're more athletic than you. They seem to be stronger than you. But maybe posting will get you going more than you dancing with the ball. Because you're not getting open.
Do you anticipate an adjustment like that, or because I realize
I don't.
Okay, coming from the head coach, because I realize what Kyrie is saying, but that's all fine and well, unless the coach is like, "Oh, I think we're going to stay the course." Then that's going to be
you don't anticipate Jason Kidd having any adjustments to what they're doing.
Here's
they adjusted in game 2. I mean, obviously, defensive effort was a huge factor there.
I'm not trying to bash Jason Kidd. I think he's the coach next year. He's won 2 games in this series. He's the coach.
You just don't think he has a deep Rolodex of plays.
I don't. And okay. I think he trusts Luka and Kyrie in a lot of one-on-one kind of pick and roll situations. And that's been their 82 game offense. I don't think it's going to change much. Now, maybe Luka can do a better job of outletting passes, like being a stronger defensive rebounder and getting outlets. But then you have to trust, besides Kyrie, we know Kyrie can run a fast break. You have to trust other guys to dribble and pass, and that's not like a lot of guys on the court that do that well.
Yeah.
But I there's something that has to change because they're getting cremated. Even in the first quarter the other day, wasn't it 23 to 18 the game
I
they won at home?
That is correct.
So their first quarter offense has been miserable, led by Luka, and Kyrie is – I get that he's playing into the game and he's not wanting to be super assertive in the first.
But the first quarter has not been kind.
It's been horrible. And if Luka's kind of hurt, I don't know. Should we use Luka more as a decoy earlier in the game?
Well, and the interesting thing about that is this is Luka talking about Kyrie. I just got to help him more. I feel like I'm letting him down, so I got to be there. I got to help him more. That kind of goes against the idea of being a decoy because I think you can still take advantage of other things that Luka can do amazingly well. It's just maybe every time the ball comes to him, maybe he only shoots it 3 out of the 4 times instead of all 4 of the usual shots that he would take.
Yeah. You look like you were wanting to jump in on something.
This series has been confusing because the 2 games you lost, you literally got down by almost a combined 60 points in the first 18 minutes of those games where you're like, how does that happen? How are you losing 18 minutes of the first part of the game by an average of about 30 points? That's like in the history of basketball and Mavericks history and almost
not
the history of every NBA playoff
opponent.
Game, you lose. If you get down by 25 points after halfway through the second quarter, you lose 99.9% of those games. Yes, there have been the unbelievable comebacks. It has happened. But they're putting themselves in a position where you have a 1% chance of winning the two games you've lost. And then the other two games, you've played your butts off. And if you play your butts off, you can score 18 points in the first quarter and only be down by five. That's doable.
And this is a thing. Somebody just texted this in, and this is fair. And this is kind of why I really liked this topic so much from the 972. Clippers shot 60% from three. Can they keep that up? In game one, they shot 50% from three. The point is,
they can't.
I agree, but I still think the Mavericks can win a game when the Clippers are shooting lights out from three. Like you saw, 60% yesterday. The Mavericks could have still won that game, and that's, you're right. If they don't shoot like that, which is what you saw in the other two games, advantage Mavs. But I still think even if they do, you can win one of these games.
You have to have, I mean, your defense in the two world has to be, nothing gets through. All right, if they're going to shoot that like that from three, then nothing gets through underneath, and you have to keep pace offensively.
That was not the case yesterday.
And not settle for threes, not settle for step back threes, and really be able to get it to the basket and finish.
I know that this isn't even available, and I can't even believe I'm saying this, but if Tim Hardaway Jr. was healthy, I wonder if you'd make the adjustment of starting him for the first 4 minutes of the game just to have maybe a really offensive shooter
because
on the court, because how bad you are in the first quarter at scoring.
It's an interesting
But he's not
point.
Available, and nobody else on your bench. I don't want to start Jaden Hardy. As much as I still like him as a prospect and everything, I don't think he's ready for this moment. And you know, I mean, I'll get into it, and Mike likes it on the lack of scoring on this team right now.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, how many Cowboys draft picks can make an immediate impact, and how does the team depth look now? Let's do it next right here on The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. How many Cowboys draft picks can make an immediate impact, and how does the team depth look now? I wanted to try something.
Ooh, perfect.
Stop it. I want to see if we can do this, Mike. We can. I wanted to skip grading the draft picks because everyone likes to grade and, you know, awesome. How many of these draft picks do you think can make an impact? I said immediate. Maybe I should have just said in 2024. Whether you think that means as a starter, what do you think that means? They'll get heavy rotation time in there. However.
Three.
Okay.
Maybe four.
Who are the three?
Your first three picks.
Okay.
Are like potentially can make immediate. I know Tyler Guyton's an immediate impact player.
At left tackle.
You're plugging him in at left tackle. He's there. That's your tackle forever. You're going to live with and die with what he does until he's no longer with the Cowboys, all right?
And BB potentially at center, and Nealon potentially. I have a lot of,
well,
Nealon,
this is what interesting. No.
Okay.
Not necessarily.
Doesn't Notre Dame dude get to play a lot? We have like
Maris?
Four linebackers.
Oh, yeah. That's,
well, and that's why he was my fourth option here. But three, I think, for sure. In the BB, I think, is going to be a legitimate backup off-swing offensive lineman unless he wins the center job from Brock Hoffman. I think the Cowboys are like, look, Brock Hoffman's there. This is your options. But when it comes to defensive ends, Kevin, I just didn't realize how light we were there. And that was whenever I was like, whoa, can Neyland Marshall go steal reps from Micah Parsons? And Micah become the whatever linebacker in the Mike Zimmer offense. That's what I'm trying to figure out is, can he take over some of that? Because you lost Dorrance Armstrong. Yep. And not thinking about those, you lost Dante Fowler. So you went light there. Now it's DeMarcus Lawrence and Sam Williams and Micah. And I know when you're like, oh, Micah's out there, you're like, well, I feel pretty good until he gets tired and you have to rotate. You're not built that way right now, especially Micah is not built that way to be out there 100% of the snaps at all. So I do feel like Marshawn Neyland's going to be one of those guys that takes a lot of those snaps. Guyton's going to be your every down starter at tackle, and then I think that BB's going to have some impact. Now, when it comes to your linebacker, this guy fits what Mike Zimmer wants out of his defense. He could legitimately compete for lots of playing time during camp. So that's where I am with this group.
What are we counting on, or what are you thinking ahead about the impact of DeMarvion Overshown? Because I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Corey, you said I'm curious his fit with Zimmer now as opposed to the old regime.
So you would kind of presume middle linebacker, but you brought in Eric Kendricks, right? So Eric Kendricks is going to be that guy that you can kind of squeeze in multiple different areas, but he's going to be your hub of intelligence for your defense. That's what Mike Zimmer is going to line him up for. Overshown has the speed laterally, can get upfield too, but he's still coming back from the injury. So that's going to be another part of the process. Does he trust it? Is he there? Is he ready to go? I always felt he was undersized in most defenses in the NFL at the spot that the Cowboys wanted him to play last year. I was like, man, he might be a safety the way that dude looks.
Right.
But then I also thought, I think Dan Quinn knows how to use that. Unfortunately, Dan Quinn actually had to go to safeties as his linebackers, and that ended up screwing the team over. So I'm interested to see if he will change that approach a lot, because he still doesn't have the bodies to do it. Mike Zimmer, that is. He doesn't have the bodies to say, I'm going heavy at linebacker right now. So I have to wait and see that. But Overshown, he's your backup at the moment to Clark and Kendricks, in my opinion.
I wanted to run down a couple of positions, and Corey, you were just talking about the defensive line. So let's go to offensive line. You feel like they addressed depth issues or talent issues at offensive line? Not to say that, like, these players are going to work out, but they were like, we're going to give it a shot.
I saw over the weekend, Broda said, because somebody was like, you think Cooper is Zach Martin's future replacement? And he said, I think TJ Bass is that guy. So I'm interested to talk to Broadus about that and kind of pick at his brain a little bit to see what they're thinking there. But Cooper, I think, like, I don't know, man. I just watched him and I was like, the dude's tough, nasty. He's kind of a pest. I always go back to the Kevin Gogans, and you talk to anybody that played with him, and it was like that dude wanted to destroy you when you got on the field. He didn't care. He wanted to compete against you and blow you up. And that's what I saw whenever I watched Cooper. So I was really excited about that. They addressed their tackle. They have an all-pro left guard. They have Zach Martin, who is, you could probably say, declining, but he's still better than most. And Terrence Steele. You still have Awesome Richards, Kevin, so you're okay there. You still have Josh
Is he
Ball.
Making this team?
So I do you're think, okay there.
I do think they did the best they could with the, like, with the picks out of they all had. The things that they could do yeah. with the offensive line. Because you took a first-round guy and you took a third-round guy. Very few teams are going to take two offensive linemen in the first three rounds. And so the Cowboys know how important that is. It doesn't mean they're going to be good. I don't know if they're going to be good or not. You have to watch them play. The Cowboys have done a really good job doing this for the most part. Even I won't even consider Biotis a bad pick.
No, I mean, he started for several years.
Yeah, and so, I mean, you're hoping, I guess, BB's a better player than Biotis overall in his 4 years, maybe five with the Dallas Cowboys.
And or hell, maybe Brock Hoffman turns out to be good. I don't think he's playing center all season long this year, but maybe he turns out to be a better center at the spot for you.
But I think defensively, they did what they could do. Unfortunately, you don't get five first-round picks. So
do you still look at linebacker then? And think trouble because of depth, at least at this moment. Yes. There's more time, and I know.
And Overshown has never played an NFL down, and he's coming off of an injury.
Yep.
I don't think you can expect a lot out of him in year one. Maybe the second half of the season. You know, his body feels better. He's figuring out the NFL. Your other, I'm just going to call him Notre Dame. I don't know what his last name is. The guy you just drafted.
Oh.
Maybe he can contribute a little bit. Yeah. You have a rookie edge who you drafted who can maybe play 25 to 33% of the snaps and help out in rotational situations his rookie year.
And then Clark Kendricks, Bell.
And at this point,
the fact that Bell's still listed is concerning me.
Yeah.
Isn't DeMarcus Lawrence, I'm not saying he's not good. He's good. But he's now at the regression part of his career.
It feels
he's 33 years old. He ain't going to get better.
I think Mike's right. Like, on the offensive side, you did upgrade a little bit there on some of your depth and one of your starters. Well, it depends on how you feel about Tyron Smith compared to Guyton. But when it comes to their defensive tackle position, they said, hey, we're going to go out there with Mozzie and Osa and draft in the seventh round at defensive
tackle.
Yeah,
but what did they do? Auburn. What was the last defensive tackle they drafted out of Auburn in the seventh round? Jay Ratliff.
All right. There you go.
Is he from Auburn? Is Jay Ratliff Auburn? I think he is.
He is too.
How That's are you going to make a definitive statement like that and then immediately stop and be like, but is he from Auburn?
My brain remembers things when I cared a lot about the Cowboys, and I'm pretty sure I remember Jay Ratliff was a seventh round pick out of Auburn, and he worked out tremendously well.
He went to Auburn.
Okay.
Fact. Do you see how smart I am?
Then why did you backtrack? Because I was ready to believe with you until you go, hold on, did he go to Auburn?
I was pretty sure. Sometimes I can mess up. It
Will
happens.
Justin Rogers be as good as J-Rat?
He'll be a nicer guy to Jerry Jones. How about that? I'll make that a factual statement. He won't want to almost kill Jerry Jones and Jerry Jones be scared for his life.
I was in the locker room one day when he went at Calvin Watkins, and I was like, what is that? I was like, literally, I was holding my recorder up to Rob Ryan. And all of a sudden, a fight breaks out, and he's like, let's get the gloves out, boys.
Was there a point in the draft I wasn't following it on day two? I mean, I waited for the draft to be over on day two and looked at the picks. Was there a point with you guys following the draft that you wanted a running back taken in the second or third round that was available to the Cowboys and they passed up on for one of these guys?
The second pick in the third round with the kid from USC sitting there. I think he might have gotten taken the pick after, but he was right there. I thought there were better running...
Marshawn Lloyd?
Yes. I thought there were better running backs for the value, especially since, look, Steven has said it before, a half round grade overdraft is not really that big of a deal. Broadus has said it in the past, like, you might, if you really like a guy and you don't think he's going to be there the next time you come up, sometimes you have to go ahead and make that pick. But the one over pick they made was the linebacker there with the second pick in the third round. And I thought that would have been where we went to running back. But that...
Because you thought he could have been... A lot of people thought he could have gotten in the fifth.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. For sure. Absolutely. And so then maybe...
I think
they
were just looking at it going, that we might draft that guy in the fourth. We don't have the fourth. Let's go ahead and take him now.
And you might be on to something there. I guess I really wanted a running back because I understand what people are saying. Mike McCarthy said, and I think this is before
I want to run
Zeke
the damn ball
was officially signed. Oh. He said, we feel good about our running backs and quote, it's not over. If the it's not over part
Zeke
was we re-signed Zeke and it's Zeke, Dowdle, Deuce Vaughn, Royce Freeman, like, I don't know. That just doesn't inspire a lot of confidence to me. If you feel differently and you're like, you just watch. I hope you're right, but that does not inspire confidence to me.
I have no clue if Deuce Vaughn is going to be a legitimate NFL player. All right, from what I saw in college, I was like, dang, that's a lot of fun. And then I saw some moments where I was like, dang, that's a lot of fun during the preseason. Your offensive line wasn't good at running the ball at all last year, though. And so will they be better at running the ball this year? You feel like you kind of downgraded with Brock Hoffman at center and never got any better. What's the difference with this offensive line? A healthy Terrence Steele? That's the difference for you this year?
And so, isn't Guyton going to be worse than Smith was last year?
It's going to take some time.
Most likely.
Tyron Smith was really good last
year. Right, so you're gonna have regression at one of your tackles, even though you're hoping there's progression throughout his career and that he can be really
for
good.
Sure. But
in year
just
one,
this one season,
from 2023 to 2024, you're gonna be worse at that tackle position.
That's a fair argument.
Right now, you could be worse at center, and maybe a hair better, but that's gonna be your situation there. I mean. I kind of feel a little bit for Dak, not a lot, but a little bit, that I think he has a worse offensive line, a worse running back situation. He does have CeeDee Lamb,
running
one of the best receivers
matter,
in the
Everybody's
game.
Everybody's known that for years. Running backs don't matter. You don't need a running back.
I don't know. I heard a disagreement about that this week.
Patrick Mahomes, what happened?
Well, sure.
Who was his running back last year?
Well, I mean, it rotated, right, from Edwards-Helaire to Pacheco.
That's Patrick Mahomes.
What'd you say?
That's Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. I mean, you don't need a running back in today's NFL if you got Patrick Mahomes.
We don't, though.
We got Dak. You're right. We don't have him. We have Dak, baby.
It's true. All right. Positive thing.
All right. What's positive?
We all like and respect the opinion of Dane Brugler, right? When it comes to evaluating talent.
Yes.
The Cowboys' first three picks were all in Brugler's top 40. He had Guyton at 27, Nealon at 32, and Beebe at 38. And so I think that is a very positive thing right there. Brugler specifically talking about Nealon. He's still taking classes in the art of the pass rush, but he is charged up into contact and displays twitch throughout his frame, which allows him to defeat blockers in different ways. He projects as a starting base whose best football is yet to come. The thing that jumps out about that is the twitch, because that was one of the things a lot of people were disappointed about in terms of Mozzie. And so somebody who is physical, attacks, and has a quick twitch, and the fact that their first three picks were all top 40 from Brugler at least shows that somebody we respect thought they got value, to be sure, out of the first three picks.
And you weren't getting that with the picks that you had before you made the trade down.
I agree.
The thing that I'm reminded about Dane Brugler is the last time the Cowboys did something similar to this was the CeeDee Lamb Trayvon Diggs draft, where his board was like, wow, the Cowboys got good value here from their first and second round picks. Now, I can't remember. I think they did pretty decent in a few other picks in that draft. Last year, they didn't. Their board did not match up with Dane Brugler's board. And I'm not saying Dane is smarter or not smarter than the Dallas Cowboys. But I know in recent history, if you draft off of Dane Brugler's board, you've done a better job than drafting off the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, board. Mike, in that draft, they got Ben DiNucci, Bradley Anae,
the science guy,
Tyler Biotic, Neville Gallimore, Trayvon Diggs, and CeeDee Lamb. So the Diggs thing was interesting because they were going to get Diggs at CeeDee Lamb's spot.
Yeah.
And they were like, hold on.
I love that Diggs pick. I remember that. I was like, he's still there?
Yeah. So that's the and bonus Neville. There. What a that, name. That one turned Neville. Out for him.
Can I throw you one other name out for you? He's an undrafted rookie free agent.
Heck yeah. These are my favorite.
The Cowboys picked up Denzel Daxon.
Whoa.
Denzel Daxon.
Okay.
I almost said Dixon. That's incorrect. Okay.
You should have just said Dixon.
Yeah, you stopped with replace that. You actually stopped just after just one syllable.
It made it sound like his nickname is Dick.
That is unfortunate for me. Denzel Daxon, he's a Bahamas native who reportedly didn't start playing organized football until 17. And so I started thinking
like
about
Tyler Guyton.
I started thinking about Sam Williams too, because remember he was like walking us through how he got into football and all of that. And so if you're looking for somebody to just root for, maybe you just root for them all because you love the Cowboys. But that sounds like a fun story. Somebody
start
from the Bahamas
for Zeke.
Who can play on the defensive line and only started playing football like 5 years ago.
I am very interested in how Mike Zimmer manages Sam Williams, because he's not going to sugarcoat it for guys. Like, he just doesn't. That's not his style. So I do wonder when he makes those bonehead moments happen, like, how is Sam Williams going to respond to a coach that isn't like up in the box up there just hanging out like, hey, everything's fine. I got my backwards hat on. Everything's cool right now. A guy who's like, just cut my eyeball out of my head.
He was a good coach. He was good. We can't make fun of a dude who took the worst defense in the NFL or close to and turn it into an above-average defense, right?
I agree.
They look like the worst defense against Green Bay, though.
We look like the worst offense.
Everything looks bad.
That is a good point, man. If we keep going back to the Green Bay game. It's going to be tough and be like, they all look terrible.
We should have just blown the whole team up after that.
We got rid of Dak McCarthy, got rid of them all.
What was the one game you won out of the last four? It was the only game you looked good, and it was a crap opponent. Like, that's the thing we forget is four out of their last five games, they played like crap.
Did you win one of them or did you win two of them? Because you also beat the Lions on the sketchy call for the two-point conversion.
You lost to Buffalo.
Right?
You lost to Miami. The last game you didn't try, right? That one doesn't count, right? Because you're locked in.
Look, they
maybe they did try.
Lost by two to Miami. You beat Philadelphia 33-13.
That was the good one. That was the good one I was thinking. I guess you beat Detroit, too.
You beat Detroit by 1 point. Yeah. You lost the Bills in a bad way.
So, look, you went 2-2 down the stretch.
I forgot.
They beat the Commanders 45-10.
Heck yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Man, can we Washington it up at the end of the year?
38-10, like, my bad.
I mean, they did beat him 45-10, but that was the Thanksgiving game, right?
Thanksgiving, that was awesome. That was, Bland got his, was it the record tire or record breaker?
That was awesome.
I have a question on Mike Likesit to start this off. Based off of the draft and where they're at, what would be the one player you would collect their cards of?
The NFL?
Yeah, the NFL draft. The rookies that are, you know, going to now start having cards being made of them. What player would you invest your money in?
I will come up with another answer if you think that Caleb Williams is a give up because
no, it's okay. They
also drafted a top flight wide receiver, and they weren't as bad, anywhere close to as bad as the typical
7-10
number one drafting team. I do think Caleb Williams is in a good position.
It's interesting because I have something similar to this in C block, but not necessarily. Because the only thing you can draft, like the only thing you can collect is quarterbacks. That's the only thing of value.
For the most part,
there's plenty of things I want to collect here, but it seems like quarterbacks, and dare I say that J.J. McCarthy might be in the best situation overall. So we'll have to get in that conversation coming up at 1 o'clock. But I think Caleb Williams is easily the one. He went number one overall, and they do have some weapons that they put in his hands. And if he can become that guy, it's going to be a lot of fun.
I don't think I'm going to buy into him, but I think if I had to go with one, because I hope I'm wrong on Caleb Williams. I hope he is very Patrick Mahomes-like. That would be very fun for the NFL. I would probably go with Jaden Daniels and take the risk that Washington can get it right.
Man. Obviously, for rooting purposes, I hope they don't get it right. But if they do, clearly that area is starved for great quarterback play and a good football team. They'd be all over it.
After 30 years of crap, like, can you imagine if he does become, and it doesn't even have to be like win a Super Bowl at this point for Washington. If they were to make the playoffs, not next year, but after that, three out of his next 4 years, they made the playoffs and won two or three playoff games.
I think that would be huge.
He would be the second, in a way, he might be the second greatest quarterback in Washington history. Because even Mark Rippon and Doug Williams weren't there much. These kind of showed up and won a Super Bowl.
In your face, Joe.
They drafted pretty well this year.
And Theismann would be the best. So what I'm saying is he could become the second best quarterback in Washington.
All right, I got you.
Whatever history.
They drafted pretty well this year. And then I don't know how you feel about him, but adding a McCaffrey I think is always good for your football team.
McCaffrey.
Luke McCaffrey, wide receiver. And they already have really good wide receivers in Jahan Dotson and McLaurin. So
Santana Daniel, Moss.
Yeah, well, no. Daniel's walking into a really good situation with wide receivers-wise. And, Kevin, what have I said about McLaurin's Mark career Monk. His entire time is he just hasn't had a good, consistent quarterback throughout.
Okay, let me
– by the way, what were they doing? Darryl Green hadn't had his
– number retired
yet? What?
That is crazy.
Like 20 plus years later, one of the, I don't know, in my lifetime, probably five best corners in the history of football. And they're like, hey, let's figure this one out.
He was freaking awesome. I want to ask you a question real quick about Jaden Daniels since you brought it up. I saw some numbers for him, and I wanted to see if you guys think these are close or not. How many yards do you think he'll throw for this season?
3,500.
I was going to say 35. I'm going to say 37.
3,250. Total number of touchdowns.
Oh, with running too?
No, I'm sorry. Oh. Passing touchdowns.
25.
18 and a half. For rushing yards, 550. Rushing touchdowns, 4.5 with 13 and a half interceptions. Caleb Williams, can Can I ask just one more, Caleb Williams?
4,200 yards.
No, I'll go 38.
3,500.
Okay.
Over.
So we're over. We're two.
Passing touchdowns.
26.
25.
Only 22 and a half.
But still more than 18 for.
True.
Okay.
J.J. McCarthy is actually next on the list with 20 and a half touchdowns and then 12 and a half interceptions.
For most quarterbacks in Chicago, they would be like, 4,200 yards in a career?
To your point in Washington, I wonder how much a veteran wide receiver group can help out a rookie quarterback. Because I get that, I just call him Rome. But I get that Rome is a great talent, but he's also entering his first games in the NFL too. So how much can he help out the quarterback on the sideline?
I think,
first, you know what I'm saying?
I do agree with you. I was actually going to go on field, but I definitely agree with you about on the sideline. Does this sound like a player that you're like, we need to get more over under touchdowns for Rome?
8.5.
4.5.
That's tough, man.
And 725 yards with 67.5 receptions.
What's it's going to be tough Harrison to come Jr. by.
At? What would you put it at?
8.5?
6.
All right. I guess I'm too optimistic on...
1,000 yards, by the way. And we talked about it.
Well, on all of this, I've been over...
You got to understand, DJ Moore and Keenan Allen are going to take away touchdown numbers. Like, that's just going to happen.
Keenan Allen will be hurt half the season.
But when he's out there for the other half of the season, he's the dude. All like, right. He still is.
All right, this is Mike Likes It. You ready?
I'm ready.
The jerseys in the MLB are horrible. And if you're watching the Reds and Rangers, you're like, why are the jerseys so dark gray for the Reds and so just gray for their pants? And it's because Nike, you guys have more money than you could ever imagine, whatever his name is, Oregon person.
Phil Knight.
Yeah, Phil Knight.
The science
Stop
guy.
Stop being a cheap SOB when it comes to these MLB jerseys. MLB's finally calling it out and going, enough is enough. They look like trash. You were mentioning about Dane Dunning and his sweat. It's because they made $3.27 jerseys for this MLB season, Nike. Like, they're horrible. They're horrible. I hate saying this because I want people to buy them, but when I see people wearing them in the stands, I'm like, what? Like, they kind of look a little bit like the giveaway jerseys. And you're like,
whoa.
But Nike just has put so much, I guess they just want to make as much money as possible and putting out the cheapest product possible, but... Guys, give these guys major league jerseys. This is major league baseball. This would be like in football, as if this year you just saw that one Earl Campbell run where his jersey goes to shreds and he's still running. They'd be like, what about this year if Nike cheaps out on NFL jerseys and you just see them all going to shreds every time somebody grabs them?
That would be unfortunate. Does the imminent change make you feel any better, or
it does,
just makes you even
mad? But it makes me mad for the people who have bought Texas Ranger jerseys this year, because they need to be better for the team shops too. And there's nothing, it's not the Rangers' fault. It's not whatever team's fault. They're putting the jersey out that Nike's provided them, which is a $3 jersey. And Nike has just decided to go as cheap as possible. And finally, they're getting called out by the Players Association and by MLB going, look, this is horrible for our telecast. These don't even match. You guys have put such a cheap product out there. This
Are
is
you
Major League Baseball.
Took so long?
Yes, I am.
For them to hear, because the noise has been there.
Did you see Hunter Green pitching the other day? It looked like he might have sweated his whole body off. And you're just like, no, if you look at the other, Bubba Thompson came in. I was like, did he run a marathon in these 8 innings that he was watching the game when he came in to pinch run? These jerseys are so pathetic that they suck up all the sweat and they just turn into dark gray messes. And you're just like, come on, Nike. This is pathetic. And you know what? Everybody's like, hey, thank God they got away from Majestic, because Majestic isn't a big name. Majestic makes a quality product, but it's not Nike or it's not Adidas or whatever. Majestic at least put in a budget where they're like, hey, let's make major league jerseys for a major league product. Freaking these teams are all worth $1 billion+ and you're making $3 jerseys. Thank God that they're changing that. Hopefully it can't happen soon enough. So...
And they haven't said that they're going to do anything to help people out who bought the old jersey, right? And
I don't know. Like, for the fans, if you could turn them back in and get a higher quality product, because Nike hopefully is giving the fans also the option to get a higher quality product than what they're putting out, that
do
would help
Do they breathe
out.
Well, though?
No, they just suck up all the sweat.
That was what they said, was they were like the breathable jersey. They were like, it's breathing.
It's just pathetic. But hopefully it gets fixed sooner than later. All right, next one. Dallas Mavericks basketball. I know we've talked quite a bit about it. I know that they have today and tomorrow off. I think this is my issue with the team right now. And I love this team. I do. I'm disappointed the Mavs aren't playing better. To be honest, I feel like they're better than what they're playing. Overall, they're better than how they're playing. And I know it's tied at two and they have a chance to win. But when you look at it and the way that the Clippers are playing defense at times against Luka and at times against Kyrie, well, if I start naming the major weaknesses of these players, and I do like these players, I'm not trying to take major shots, but Derrick Jones Jr., major weaknesses, not a very good shooter. Right. PJ Washington, not a very good shooter. Dante Exum, not a very good shooter. Josh Green, not a very good shooter. Maxi Kleba, I know he's 4 of 8 in the series, but not a very good shooter. Like, if I'm naming the weakness, because if I name the strength of those guys, there's athleticism, there's defense, there's rebounding. And then your two centers can't shoot, and you aren't expecting them to shoot anyways. But I think what we're running up against right now in this series, especially early on in these games, is the Mavericks literally have Luka, who's not shooting well, but overall a good three-point shooter. Kyrie, who's a great three-point shooter, but not making his shots early in the game. Is if they're not draining their threes, the major weaknesses of literally all your role players are they're not good shooters. And so how much do you force the ball to the basket? And I kind of like, keep forcing it because you're not good three-point shooters, or are you just hoping that these guys get hot? In game three, they were hot. It was awesome. Derrick Jones Jr., at one point, it wasn't like a pure step-back three, but he stepped back to the corner. I was like, damn. Like, I wasn't expecting. Once Derrick Jones Jr. took the step back behind the three-point line, I'm like, this isn't going in, and it did, and Maxi Kleba, and... But I just look at these guys, and this is for future. Are the Mavs going to win the championship this year? I don't think so. They still have the opportunity. Denver looks really good. Obviously, Minnesota so far looks really good. Phoenix looks like, you guys screwed up, and Chickenhead ain't helping out too much. Mm. So,
he had a playoff career high in that game they lost.
I look at the Mavs and go, in the offseason, and Nico's done a great job, and I give, you know, them a great job on rebuilding this team on the fly, is... I think you just got to get somebody who feels like a more of a Buddy Hield. I'm not saying him specifically, but somebody who is way more of a threat as a three-point shooter. And almost like I need to combine a couple of these really good athletic defensive guys and be like, hey, does anybody need some athletic defensive guys? Because we have enough of those that we can maybe afford to combo.
How weird is that
two
to
of
hear
them into a shooter?
That we don't have enough shooters, but we have plenty of athletic defensive players.
That's not the Mavericks.
Yeah, that feels very strange.
Never been the Mavericks.
But even when you made it to the Western Conference Finals, don't get me wrong, Jalen Brunson, he can shoot. Luka can shoot. Dinwiddie's not a great shooter. Dorian Finney-Smith is a solid shooter. You know, obviously you had Maxi Kleba on that team. I'm trying to... weird hair dude.
Bullock.
Bullock, yeah. He's not a very good shooter either. Like he's streaky.
They were shooting it like... They were shooting at a high clip.
I was saying weird. I wasn't saying bad.
They were shooting at a very high clip then.
But yeah, but it's just like, so I like what they're doing, but I look at it and go, okay, the next piece in the offseason is, can I combine, and I'm not trying to get rid of these guys, but can I combine a Jaden Hardy and a Josh Green into like a shooter? So now when that dude's left in the corner, you're like, he's going to make 50% of these. Like Norman Powell, for example. Like, what if Norman Powell was one of the guys that we had as a role player?
I feel like we've mentioned that name a while back.
Yeah.
Walt Williams. Cool. Like, that would be awesome.
He does not play in the NBA anymore. I'm sorry to tell you.
Remember how good of a three-point shooter he was?
He was
George McCloud would be an awesome three-point shooter. Yeah. I think that's what he's talking about, though, Kevin. The guy that shoots
threes. Maybe in these next three games, and hopefully just two, but... Somebody who's not a good shooter is going to have to start knocking down some shots.
Josh Green.
Because they are leaving them wide open.
It's going to happen for Josh Green.
And maybe that'll help Luka because he ain't making fart.
We're the KNC Masterpiece.
I can't say the other word.
Right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Poop.
Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Hilarious John Kruk audio that you have to hear, plus best situations for quarterbacks. Maybe next on The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.